and the Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. No AJ today. Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. Today it's at Jason Braddock with a Y, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and it's a Friday, so there's going to be lots of good gambling talk and lots of good football talk. And everybody should be in a good mood today because it's a nice day outside. The weekend is almost here. AJ's already off getting drunk. He's 3 hours ahead of me. So he's taking the day off for a nice little trip out of town for good beer. So very happy to have filling in for him today. Good friend of the shows and just a good friend in general, Jason Braddock. And with Jason here, we'll probably be talking a lot about the Texans because this dude covers them like nobody else. What's going on, Mr. Braddock?
It's a Friday, like you said. So first Friday inside the Blitz. Looking forward to the show. Like you said, got a lot of gambling talk to get to, a lot of Texans talk. We'll cover all of it. Jumping right into that field out there at NRG, I thought it wasn't an odd choice. It seems like he chose his words carefully, but when Rick Smith said two words, cooperation and collaboration with the NFL, what did you take that to mean?
Well, I took it that he was choosing his words very carefully because if you come out and say, this field has sucked since we put it in, which is the truth. We all know it.
Right.
Everybody can see it. Not just people like us that have actually been down on the field. You can be in the stands and see how screwed up it is.
Well, I think they had a shot from the space station where you could see the seams on the field out there. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Well played, sir.
Not here all week. Here for the rest of the day. Try the veal.
There's veal?
Yes.
All right. Somebody killed a baby calf. Awesome. we all know this field's been a mess for years. We've all been saying, why don't you fix it? And so I know he's got to choose his words carefully because if you come out and say, oh, well, this field's been a mess for years, then everybody who's ever gotten hurt there is going to sue you. So for them to come out and basically say, well, this year it's not up to our standards, I'm surprised that it's gone on this long. And once again, it's just another one of those things that makes this organization look like it doesn't know what it's doing. How could you not have addressed this sooner? And I'm glad it's finally getting done, but this is way, way overdue.
And I'm not sure they would have addressed it if it wasn't for the Kansas City Chiefs coming into the year, complaining about it. Pro Football Talk picking up the article and all the complaints. The pictures that beat writers from opposing teams have posted up. And that's why cooperation and collaboration stood out to me, because I feel that's the nicest way he could say the NFL forced us to finally make this change.
Well, and that's the thing that kind of, if it's the NFL finally making him do it, great. But again, this goes back to Wes Welker, goes back to Clowney last year.
D'Amico Ryans twice.
And this is nothing new. The guys have been getting hurt on this field, and I'm sure he has stats that compare it to other guys getting hurt on other fields. And let's be honest, there's a lot of fields that are screwed up out there. This isn't the only one. And it's kind of weird that in the NFL, they're one of the richest sports leagues in the history of the universe, that's a problem on a lot of places, including the new stadium in San Francisco where they've had issues. So it's not just Houston, but we've known about this for a long time, and it's just silly that it's taken them this long to go to the field turf, which they've done it for college games there. It seems to work fine, but I'm glad they're finally doing it. But again, it's one of those things. It's just, especially on the heels of your indecision over quarterback, it just makes the whole organization look like, we don't really know what we're doing, but here we go. We'll try to fix it.
I can say this. If you're a Houston Texans fan, it's been an eventful week. You mentioned the quarterback decision. Ryan Mallett becomes your starter. Aaron Foster shows back up at camp. The reports come out that Dwayne Brown's probably not playing on Sunday. They claim Ode Abuse, who's probably going to, at some point this year, become your starting left guard. And then, all right, on a Friday, you know, it's time to bury the lead here and have Rick Smith just sneak in on an unannounced.
I don't know if they thought that, well, it's a Friday, so everybody will talk about something else. They won't make a big deal out of it. Sorry, Rick. It's a big deal. We're going to make a big deal out of it. And I do want to give a little credit here. If you're not familiar with Jason, you should be following him on Twitter, at Jason Braddock. That's J-A-Y-S-O-N. And He's the first one who tweeted that Foster was going to be back. Basically, he said it would be between week 2 and 4, and that he'd be back on the practice field this week. You said that, what, month ago? And so he's way ahead of a lot of stuff here on the Texans. So if you're interested in the Texans at all, he's a must follow. And he's also, yeah, he also has a lot of other good stuff on the rest of the league. So, you know, I want to make sure you get credit for breaking that because you were right.
Well, yeah, and I will throw the occasional lame joke out there, as you've already seen in the first segment. You can continue to expect my comedic genius at work in 140 characters.
Well, comedic genius might be a little strong. Every now and then you hit on one. Yeah, it's like we all do.
Like baseball. If I can get to a 300 average, I'm good with that.
Okay, well, you know what? Right now your average is lower than probably half the Astros lineup, but that's okay. You'll get there, man. Just keep trying.
Lower than the Astros lineup? All right, now I'm insulted. If you said lower than a Major League Baseball's lineup, but you're saying the Astros coming off of a road trip. Now, this is just getting insulting.
Good. That's how we do things around here. Unfortunately, Jason can play right along with the best of them. But, yeah, we'll talk a lot more about this the grass thing. We got a lot of good stuff for you. RJ Bell joins us at 5:30, as he always does, and I have to pay off on my bet. So that ought to be fun. Willie B is going to join us, and Fat Side of the Bacon, he'll join us in the 6 o'clock hour. For those of you who asked for picks, 4:30, we'll have our college picks. 5 o'clock is when we go over all the NFL games, and we'll throw in what picks are there. I got to tell you, I don't have any NFL games that jump off of me this week, but I know you got a couple, so, and we have to pick 3. John, you have your picks ready?
I'll have them ready. Do you want me to go again at 6, or do you want to do it at 4:30?
Well, college is at 4:30,
okay,
we'll NFL at 5. So just be prepared for that. And I know you have AJ's, right? He did send you his before he started drinking. Yeah, I wouldn't want to try to text him and get him from it by now because I know he's been there for a few hours. It would be pretty useless. But, yeah, he's off enjoying good beer tonight. I'm kind of jealous. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN. The other thing is, interesting game last night in that – and this is why I don't do a lot of – early tweeting on a game because everybody's tweeting out, look at what Kubiak's turned him into, Schaub and all this stuff. And the truth is, Peyton Manning, that arm is not what it was. It's pretty clear. He's still smart enough to get the ball to the right place most of the time. But I have to say that I'm really worried long term about, you know, how effective he's going to be. But more than anything, the Chiefs gave that game away. That they had every opportunity to win. And I mean, with the fumbles and just and the mistakes, that was just a sloppy game on the Chiefs' part. I think it's more the Chiefs losing the game than it was the Broncos winning. Now Manning did come up with a great late drive, made some plays there at the end, which was good to see. But in general, the Chiefs should be ashamed of themselves this morning because they had every chance to win that football game.
Well, they should be ashamed of themselves because I had a 17 parlay starting off with that game, and I felt pretty good about it. And now a whole 17 parlay is just out the window on the very first game of the week.
Shame.
Man, do I have to have the conversation with you about parlays? Do I have to do that?
Well, here's the thing. The site I used, as long as you bet $5, anybody that plays a 17 parlay that week, if they win, you get a part of it. So it's $5. Throw it out there, and if somebody else hits, I get a share of it as well. So I'm living off of somebody else's sweat right now.
Okay, well, that's okay. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that.
But as far as the game and Peyton Manning, you're exactly right. The people that were pounding their chest saying Peyton Manning's in the grave, they were loving the first half of the game. And the people are saying that nothing's changed, it's the same old Peyton Manning, they were pounding their chest at the end of the game and probably will for another week. But the truth of the matter is, it's the middle of the road with this guy. This is not the same Peyton Manning. That being said, when he was allowed to be back there in shotgun and beat you with his intelligence and accuracy, that's what he did. The arm strength's gone. He's definitely not a guy that's going out there and spinning it anymore. It looks like Duck Hunt out there at times. But, you know, his intelligence and his accuracy is far beyond. You know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer for a reason, and he can still get by for that, at least for one more season.
Yeah, I don't know how good this team is going to be long term. I just don't know that they can continue with him throwing pick sixes and going full Schaub, which, you know, you never go full Schaub.
Never go full Schaub.
But I do think he's – you're right, though. It's somewhere in between. I mean, he doesn't have the arm strength, and that's clear. but he still knows where to get the ball.
Wait, we can't just, John, we can't just go right over that. I got one of his movie references today with the you can't go full shop. I got to get like a porn or something. We got to keep track.
You know what? That's true. You actually recognized... You actually recognize the Tropic Thunder reference.
Exactly.
This is a okay.
This is a milestone.
It is. This is a first. This is the first time this has happened. I'm stunned.
Yeah, so we can't just brush over that. I mean, because I get beat up pretty bad when I don't get the what's your show, your movie on HBO again? Your TV show?
It's a show. It's called Game of Thrones.
Okay, yeah. So
only one of the most popular cable shows ever. But that's all right. You don't even know about
that. So the Game of Nerd stuff I don't get, but this right here I hit on right away. I think I should get a point, and I plead to the judge, like, come on, I need a sounder for getting one right every now and then at least, right?
Dude, you're going nerd on me when you lock yourself in a room in your underwear and watch nothing but tape of football games. That's pretty nerdy. I hate to break it to you.
That sounds like awesomeness, like 100% awesomeness. Uh-huh. Cheetos on the boxers, just watching game film. That's the dream.
Well, when we come back, I want you to take me through your day because I know you do. And when last time Jason was on, we gave him a lot of grief because he doesn't watch anything but football. And that's kind of cool because you can get all sorts of insight from him. But I'm just kind of curious what you do with your time.
You're really trying to lose your listeners now. We're going to have the Jason Braddock itinerary coming up after the break. So make sure to come back and tune into that or take a nap.
Don't take a nap because you're probably driving and then you'll die. And it'll be Braddock's fault and you'll be able to sue him. But don't sue the station because I'm telling you not to do it.
Assuming you're dead.
That's what family members do, man.
Oh, okay.
Come back and get you. By the way, I want to thank whoever it was that sent me the, it was Terry on Facebook that sent me the, yesterday we talked about the Disney princess pinups, the hot Disney princesses. This will mean nothing to you, but he also did one of Melisandre, the Red Witch from Game of Thrones. Yeah, I'm going to have to excuse myself for a couple minutes. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And we're back on The Blitz. Jason Braddock filling in for AJ today. I admit, I'm such a booger eater when it comes to Game of Thrones. That's my ringtone on my phone.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm dead serious.
Well, and then your screensaver is the Disney princesses?
There's a person that lives with me that wouldn't let me do that.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I do have them on my computer where she can't see them. Yeah, there's things you can do.
Password protected.
Yeah, I want to get to Texans because I know this is something that you're all over these guys, and we were talking before the show. You think they're going to win Sunday?
Yeah, I definitely do think.
Did your phone just go off?
No. That wouldn't happen.
That's a rookie mistake there.
Yeah, that would never happen in studio, so that's why you didn't hear my phone go off.
Exactly.
Does it make it worse if it's a bill collector?
Isn't that the only people that ever call anymore? I mean, otherwise you text, right?
No, I sent out a tweet earlier. Man, people call me for just like the most minute stuff. That's why I sent out a tweet earlier saying that, you know, when I retire, I'm going back to the pager. You know, because with the pager, people would only page you to have you call them back when it was emergency because they knew you were going to pull over to a payphone and have to drop a dime to call them. Now, they'll call you and, like, tell you what kind of bathroom the dog took, you know, whether they did a one or a two outside. I mean, it's just the most wasteless conversation. You just have this cancer device up to your ear, just listen to people just blabber on and on about the most minute nonsense. So I'm going to just go back to the pager generation.
Then you should just deal drugs.
Well, I mean, that's why I got the pager in the first place. Okay. So it just comes full circle.
Well, you didn't tell me. Jeez. We could do some business. honestly, I don't like talking to anybody. I just text.
I agree with you.
I've gotten to the point where unless it's really important and there's no way to get it all in a text, I have no interest in talking to anybody on the phone.
Right, exactly. I mean, because it's so much of it is just in a phone conversation, there's just awkward nonsense till you get to what you really called for. In a text message, it's just straight to the point. That's what makes it so much better than back in the 1800s when you wrote letters and sealed them with blood or whatever you did in the 1800s. Was that a thing? You watch Game of Thrones. You would know.
That was from long before the 1800s. You don't even have your time period right for this. But
the 1950s?
The only people who call are bill collectors, and then they'll leave a message saying, please call this. No, screw you.
I'm not going to call you.
I'm not going to.
You got to catch me.
Voice? Yeah, come get me.
You got to catch
Jeez.
Me. I mean, that's what makes this a game. You think I'm going to just pay my bill on time? Just let me know when you're about to cut it off. Or just expedite the process. Go ahead and cut it off, and then I'll pay.
713-780-ESP is your number. Let's try a phone call real quick. Corey, you get to lead it off today. What's up, buddy? Happy Friday.
Hey, guys. Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going sportsy.
Oh, that's awesome. I just wanted to hear y'all talk about Kevin Johnson, see what y'all thought about his first game. And, you know, I know he didn't make much of an impact, but that big hit on Kelsey, to see what y'all thought about him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. With Kevin Johnson, for those who might be outside the NFL, or might be not Texans fans, but other NFL fans, most Texan fans know this. He was the first round pick of the Houston Texans, 16th overall. When I watched this guy on film coming out of Wake Forest, you know, this is another guy who's going kind of back home, basically where he played college ball, going back to Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend, with Wake Forest being in North Carolina. When I watched him on film, his route recognition was so much superior than any cornerback I can recall watch coming out of college over the last decade. As far as what he did in this past game, I mean, because of that route recognition, he's always right in the guy's pocket. He has the speed that would be able to, in the next year or two, start to be able to trail a guy like T.Y. Hilton down the field, something that's been missing from this team. But as far as what he's going to do early on this season, it's going to mostly be sub packages, nickel defense, dime defense. And when he's playing in those sub packages, just like last year, you can expect to see Kareem Jackson kick inside.
You were telling me before the show, or you telling Michael Pearson when he came in here, you think the Texans are going to win Sunday?
Yes, I do. I do think the Texans will win Sunday. I think Ryan Mallett is probably still the most underrated quarterback this team's had. Does that mean I think he's a Hall of Famer? No, I'm not saying Ryan Mallett's that. What I'm saying is, it's a 27-year-old guy that's never had the opportunity to prepare to be a starting quarterback. Last year was Fitzpatrick's job. He came in late at the end of the year. This year, they split reps all throughout the offseason, all the way to the preseason, so he still didn't have the opportunity to come in and take all the reps with one. I think he'll be the starter for the next 15 games unless an injury hits him. It's his job, and he would have to play horrible to lose that job, in my opinion. I think he'll go out in this Carolina game, just to throw some numbers on it. I'll say 62% completion percentage, 260 yards. He's jotting it down.
I'm writing these down.
All right, 260 yards. 2 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Now, you've been high on him all along, and you're out there every day. And I have to ask this, because I was out there a lot, and it sure looked like Mallett looked better to me. And right. Neither one of them looked good. I'm not going to lie about that. I thought they both looked below average, but I thought he looked like the lesser of the two evils. Why on earth did Hoyer get the job in the first place?
It's the same reason Fitzpatrick was the starter last year, the reason they brought in Hoyer this year. They're the conservative game manager type. You have Arian Foster. You believe that you can run the ball, allow your quarterback to make those manageable throws inside 10, 15 yards, not turn over the ball. And all the reasons they brought him in is why Brian Hoyer got demoted after only 3 quarters. You were brought in to manage the game, play safe, not turn over the ball, and be consistent. Well, you didn't complete 60% of your passes. You turned the ball over twice in 3 quarters, and you didn't really run the offense effectively.
Yeah, I still think it's too soon to make a move, though. I think it just makes you look like you don't know what the hell you're doing. And what if Mallett goes out there and has 3 bad quarters? You going back to Hoyer?
No, and he spoke on that a little bit yesterday. Basically, this is the decision they're going to stick with for a while. Mallett's the guy. Throughout, even when he appointed Brian Hoyer, and we saw the little glimpse inside the window on Hard Knocks of how that conversation went, we only saw a snippet. We didn't see the whole conversation. But in that little snippet that we saw, you didn't see a lot of conviction behind, like, yeah, you know, you went out and won this job, we feel good about it. No, he took the guy that had a little bit more playing experience and somebody they felt was the conservative decisions that they could go out there and win games with, and Hoyer played horrible. The other thing that I think we're underestimating with Ryan Mallett that we saw in that one quarter, he's a game player. What I mean by that, he's a guy who his game elevates when he's in there, the 11 people, the crowd on a Sunday. That's when he plays best. And at this year, we'll see Ryan Mallett, as long as he can stay healthy, we'll see him to start evolve into this NFL quarterback. And I think next year he will become, you know, as long as he plays well throughout this year, gets those 15 games, I think we'll see a guy next year that you could feel comfortable as being your quarterback.
Well, my one issue, though, is he comes in when you're down that big. Defenses aren't playing the same. Much easier defense than what Hoyer was facing. I think it was easy for him to look good in that situation. It's also easy to look bad. I mean, you can go out there and suck, which he didn't. But I don't want to put too much – I don't want to give too much credit to what he did simply because I don't know that Hoyer couldn't have done that if they'd have left him in against that defense at that point because the Chiefs had the game won and they're just laying back, and we see this all the time in the NFL.
Well, they already switched to some of that defense with Hoyer in there, and it wasn't becoming effective. When O'Brien spoke about what he liked about Mallett when he went in there was that spark, the energy, being ready. Ryan Mallett spoke yesterday in the locker room and said that he didn't even find out he was going into it until – the series, they said, all right, now run in when it was time to run into the huddle. No time to prepare. The main thing, the main difference you see from that on these option routes was that one, DeAndre Hopkins or Nate Washington, Keith Mumphrey, Cecil Shorts, any of these guys run these routes, as a quarterback, you have to know what that receiver's seeing. When he's breaking off, is he reading go? Is he reading hitch? Have to be on the same page with him. And not only was Mallett on the same page with him, he threw those passes with confidence and with anticipation. The ball was already on top of the receivers before they came out of their breaks. In a game of inches, that allows that extra second or two to get the yak after the catch.
Drunk Bevo asks, why is Mallett's leash longer than Hoyer's? If he blows, he's not getting pulled?
No, I think if he has a bad game, if it's a brutally bad game, if Mallett goes out there and throws for 140, zero touchdowns and three picks, yeah, then, I mean, it's definitely on the table that he gets pulled. But as far as why his leash is longer, is because all along, Hoyer, the whole thing with Hoyer was that he's the conservative choice that you can kind of manage the game and be that type of leader out there. Mallett has the upside and the ceiling. If they give you the same type of play on the field and Mallett has a higher ceiling, you stick with the guy that can give you more and can win you games.
Well, I trust your opinion on this as much as I do anybody's, and I hope you're right. I really do. And because I'm going to be a little skeptical until I see it. But I wonder why in the hell all your evaluation time that you spent all summer doing and decide this is the guy to go with, and then after three quarters, oh, no, wait a minute, let's flip it. I just think that's a bad look, and I think it just shows that you're not sure what you're doing. And that's not something I want to see out of a coach. And we are back on the Blitz. What kind of music you like, Braddock? Crank that up a little bit, John. I want to see if he likes this. This ought to be something you would get into from your part of the country.
I have no clue what this is.
Of course you wouldn't.
I mostly like R&B. I like 90s rap. And the only current rap I really like is Zero.
Okay.
And you're like, okay.
I have no idea. Any more than you have any idea who that was. So it's all good. That is the last, in my opinion, the last great Southern rock band in America, Blackstone Cherry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sometimes I get them confused with Cherry Vanilla Coke.
I'm sure you do. All right, this is a part of the show where every Friday we're going to do our college picks against the spread. Jong has three. AJ, who is not here, has three. I have three. I actually have four games I'm probably going to play. I'll give you all four of them, and then I'll also give you a CFL play. But officially, here's my first one. Bowling Green is a really good football team that can score an awful lot of points. I think Memphis is pretty good, too. But I think Memphis is just a hair overrated. Bowling Green getting 3.5 at home against Memphis. This is a team that put up a ton of yards against Tennessee, beat Maryland. Give me Bowling Green plus 3.5 is my first pick of the day. Jong?
I'll give you AJ's.
Okay.
He didn't give me any reasons for these, but he just gave me the lines. He's taking Ball State minus 4.5.
All right. And yours?
I had to...
And by the way, who did best last week?
You did.
Okay, yeah, 5-1.
And
okay.
I came in second.
All right, yeah, and you were second, and AJ was third. So just letting the people know that.
I was looking at this line, and I thought Georgia Tech has to be bigger favorites than three, only getting, you know...
I'm seeing two.
Up three.
I'm seeing two right now.
And I feel like this is a it's a trap, like Clemson and Louisville was last night. But I'm going to go with it, and I'm going to say Georgia Tech is going to win by... I think Georgia Tech wins by 10.
I think Georgia Tech hammers them. That's my play number two.
Yeah, I'm going to take Georgia Tech minus 3.
It is one of those that looks too good to be true, but I for one thing, I probably would have taken Georgia Tech over Notre Dame if Zaire were playing. So I have to take that, right, with 2 points? So that'll be my second one.
Well, seeing how John opened up the conversation, I do have to ask, what's the only college football team that's 3-0 right now?
So?
Oh, I mean, I was just curious.
There's a bunch of them are 3-0. Notre Dame doesn't have a quarterback, dude.
Are you just trying not to say the name just to get under my skin?
A little bit.
Come on, let's say it. John. Who is it, John?
Yeah, you should not be bragging about your Clemson Tigers. You did not cover. A lot of people went down in flames with your guys last night because you couldn't cover against a Louisville team that got smacked around by my Cougars.
Smacked around by the Cougars.
Yes. That game should have been 55-30.
Deshaun Watson, who is a Heisman candidate.
Deshaun Watson's a nice player.
He didn't have his best game. That's the worst I've seen Deshaun Watson play. So if that's your first look at him, expect to see him much better because he's definitely – I told a lot of people when he was 26-1 to win Heisman, that's something I would throw a Hail Mary bet at.
Well, congratulations on your win, but –
3-0.
Yeah, and that's great, but you'll lose to some dog team that you're not supposed to lose.
No,
so
see,
you do it every year.
See, you hear this? This is what the saying was. Clemson still gets this from the 90s in the Tommy Bowden era. Clemson has the second most consecutive wins against non-ranked teams at 32. So that's the old stereotype. Wash that out your system. That hate is the hate is strong with you, Frower.
How many did you lose? How many did you lose last year?
Two.
That's what you do every year.
Every year.
You lost to Florida State. Great. You're going to probably lose to Florida State again.
No, come on now. You don't believe
anyway,
that.
Anyway, John, your second, AJ's second pick, please.
AJ's second pick, Colorado -3.
Yeah, that's a game that I like as well.
And sifting through some of these I wrote down, I think I'm going to take Auburn +7 over LSU.
I like that play. That's an overreaction line from Auburn almost losing to those idiots last week.
Auburn, I don't think, is as bad as they looked, and I don't think LSU is as good as they looked. But I don't necessarily like that it's going to be in Death Valley, but I'm going to take the +7.
Okay, that's not a bad one. My last one, like I said, I have four plays, but only three for our game. This one is a pure computer play, and I've talked about this before. I have a computer program that spits out what the line should be. It uses Sagar and uses some other stuff. And there's no way I would play Illinois ever because I just stay away from bad Big Ten teams. But they're 9-point underdogs, and the computer says they should be 4-point favorites. And so anytime there's a swing of more than 10, it's usually between 85% and 90% over the last 3 years. So just on a pure computer bet, I'm taking Illinois as my third one.
What was that line?
+9 for Illinois.
And AJ is going to take Cal, Texas over 57.
Yeah, I don't mind that one at all either. The other game that I was going to play, and I switched it out for Illinois at the last minute, USC -9.5 against Stanford. I think USC is going to maul Stanford. And that's just a fourth one. Doesn't count for our game, but I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, and my last one is going to be, I haven't seen Nevada play this year, but I think Texas A&M might be looking towards next week against Arkansas. So I'm going to take the +34.
That's a pretty big number. Actually, it's at 35 right now. So you get one more point. Congratulations. So just to recap, let the people have the picks. My three plays officially for the contest: Bowling Green +3.5 at home against Memphis. Georgia Tech -2 versus Notre Dame. 2.5 now, excuse me. Illinois +9 against North Carolina. Free play bonus, USC -9.5 against Stanford, which I know AJ likes that game a lot too.
Yeah, I was looking at that game too. AJ's picks: Ball State -4.5, Colorado -3, Texas, Cal over 57. And my plays were Georgia Tech -2.5 over Notre Dame, Auburn +7, and Nevada to cover the +35.
All right, let's do a spontaneous trivia between y'all two because I heard a couple schools in there: Illinois, Memphis, and Georgia Tech. Can you tell me a Texans player from Illinois, Memphis, and a Texans coach that played at Georgia Tech?
Well, Illinois is Whitney Merciless.
Yeah, you got that one.
Well, Clemson is
Memphis.
Memphis. Lonnie Ballantyne.
He got the Mr. Relevant. I thought I'd sneak that one past him.
No, man, come on. I know everybody on that roster. I don't pay attention to the coaches, though.
What's the coach that played at Georgia Tech?
Did Gotsi play at Georgia Tech?
There it is. Oh, 3-for-3, Fowler. Listen, don't make any bets with Fred Fowler, man. He's prepared.
Don't mess with me on stuff like that. Ryan says, I love the Clemson talk, even though you were a little down on us. I'm actually not down on Clemson. I think Clemson's pretty good this year. It's just I'm also going to be skeptical because every year when I think they're good enough to beat Florida State or whoever the flavor of the day is in the ACC, they always let me down. They're a better version of Virginia Tech. Like, every year you're like, oh, this team's going to be really good, and then they are good, but
You know who I'm worried about them this year, and I can't remember the schedule, but I assume they play. They do play Notre Dame. I'm not as worried about that, but Clemson always has trouble with Georgia Tech's triple option.
Well, and I think that's the other team I'm very intrigued by this year is Georgia Tech, which is why I think they're going to house. I think they're going to house Notre Dame. I really do, but we'll see. It's why it's gambling. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. A lot more to go. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And we are back on the Blitz. It's back. Jeremy Branham and Barry Laminack have resurrected Houston game day. Tune in at 10 a.m. Sunday to hear the best pregame show in Houston. Jeremy and Barry get you ready for all of the NFL games on Sunday. That should be an interesting pairing. Did you put that together, John? Is that you?
Yeah, had some interest, yeah. Both parties.
Yeah, that's why you're the boss, man. Yeah, the best thing about John is he has to deal with all the political stuff around here, and AJ and I can just stay the hell out of it. That's why we appreciate John.
He allowed you to keep your hands clean.
Well, no, basically what we could do is come back
clean.
And we can second guess stuff later. It's easier. Just come back and say, "Wow, how'd you let that happen, John? Come on, man." Yeah. Anyway, 713-780 ESPN if you want to get in. And just one. So if you're one of those folks that missed the last segment and want the college picks, just go to podcastarena.com. It'll be up very shortly. And Podcast Arena is our new site that owned by Gal Media here. It's got a lot of great stuff on it, all the Yahoo stuff, all the ESPN shows. We're going to be doing some really exciting stuff on Podcast Arena. In fact, that's where you're going to be able to buy our gambling book, which is almost done. We're very close. I know people keep asking me about that. It's going to be within a couple of weeks that we'll have it available for you. And the great thing about it is it's everything that we've ever talked about on the show put in one place, and it's as far as audiobooks go, it's going to be very affordable. We're going to have it in at a very good price for people because we want it to be, you know, we want to help the Blitzers out. So that'll be coming very soon. And people keep asking what happened to the old podcast stuff. Everything now is Podcast Arena. It's also very mobile friendly. Great site. So check it out. And I also want to mention that I had one pick for the Canadian Football League this week. The 1-10 Saskatchewan Rough Riders are -2. They're going to win and win big. So there's a CFL play for you.
Who are they playing up against?
What's that?
Who are they playing?
They're playing the Ottawa
Red Blacks.
The Red Blacks, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So and they're getting Kevin Glenn back, who was their second quarterback who got hurt. So I expect them to win easily. Somebody asked early in the week, said Temple might be a player. Are you off that now? I don't know yet whether I'm going to play it or not. I'm looking at it. But those are for the show. Those are the ones we're doing. I'll probably have. Well, I've got four for sure that I'm doing. I might play five or six. I'll probably play more college this week because I just do not like the NFL. There's no games where I think the line's out of whack. There's not any angles that I'm in love with. I'll pick three for the purposes of what we're doing, but I don't know that I'm betting anything this weekend on the NFL. And you know what? That's one of the things we always talk about that RJ always says is one of the best weapons you have is the ability to pass on a game. So.
Yeah, usually I'm between two and four games that I really like. I had to force the issue with two games this week in the NFL.
See, that's, well, one thing you don't want to do is force it.
Bad word choice there.
Anyway, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. And Jason Braddock, of course. We were just talking, though, off air a little bit about why was Rick Smith the one doing the press conference today to talk about the field? Shouldn't that be a Jamie Roots thing?
Yeah, Rick mentioned that he's a part of the competition committee, and I don't think
that makes it sound even more like he just got his nose slapped in.
Exactly. When he just came out freelance and speaking and mentioned that he's a part of the competition committee, that made me feel that was mentioned as a part that's where the pressure came on him for them to make the decision. Obviously, they're saying they made the decision, which that's what you'd expect them to do. But, yeah, same thing you were saying in the break is exactly what I was thinking, that this seemed like something better suited for Jamie Roots to be delivering.
Yeah, the whole thing is strange, but I'm glad they're doing something finally. It's just – this is something that should have been done years ago.
Yeah, I guess it don't matter how you get there. Maybe the timing does matter, how far it's taken to get there, and now – you know, they fully expect this to be completely done before their next game against Tampa Bay, so you'll have the #1 overall pick. And that's probably be the answer to a trivia question one day, but have first overall pick Jameis Winston as the first opposing quarterback to play on the artificial turf here.
Yeah, that's a trivia question. All right. See, this is why I'm not doing trivia with you, because you'll come up with stuff like that.
And I'll keep it in the back of the storage for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, really?
And then I'll
who's going to remember that? We'll get to this next segment when we're going to go through all the NFL games. But I find it kind of interesting, the Heisman battles that we've had the last couple of weeks. Last week you had Mariota Winston. This week you're going to have Mariota and Sir Jonathan Football.
Yeah, and I saw somebody actually tweeted out that he plays Mark Ingram and Cam Newton this year.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, is that the last five in a row Heisman?
Well, or
is
there Bob one? Griffin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
So now he just goes by Bob, right?
That's what we call him, yeah.
When you get demoted, you don't even get the full Robert.
No, we've been calling him Bob for a while here, and it always offends Baylor fans. His name's Robert Griffin. Like, yeah, no, he's Bob now. And until he gets back out there and starts going crazy, he's going to be Bob.
Is he still doing scout team safety work up there in Washington?
I'm sure he is, but yeah, that's a guy that just needs to – I think he needs to change the scenery, and I think he needs to – I don't know, man.
That's such a bad situation up there. I mean, just everything that Washington touched, it's like the anti-Midas touch. And that's the reason I took the Dolphins with the Redskins. They kind of scared me last week.
Ooh, that was too scary.
Yeah, Miami finally covered. A couple things fell my way, but I didn't expect to be clinching that tight.
that was my biggest play of the weekend, too. So that was a serious sweat. And I was at the Texans game checking my phone constantly.
Oh, I was, too. And then something happened in the Texans game. I lost focus, and I was like, okay, give me the score. And then it was 17-10. I'm like, okay, so they covered. Because I honestly didn't think that was going to be close. And then I felt like in the Jacksonville situation, I got killed. Your starting wide receiver goes out injured and comes back in, but he was never the same guy. Your star wide receiver, and you lose your starting left tackle all early on in that game. Jacksonville was up, what was it? I think Jacksonville was up 9-3 or 9-6 or something like that before Jokel and Allen Robinson went down. And then with Jokel out and Allen Robinson playing injured, Carolina was just easily able to take that game.
Getting some questions about Florida State -7.5 against Boston College tonight. I have no opinion on that one. I'm sorry. I don't. It's just not a game that I'm interested in playing. I think the number's about right. And, yeah, it's just these road teams. We saw this last night with Louisville. These road teams on Thursday, Friday night, or home teams that are dogs, they're hard to bet against. I think Florida State is much better than Boston College, and I think they should go in there and house them. But outside of touchdown, I just can't play it.
And they got the Myrtle Beach kid at quarterback. So for whatever that's worth, I just want to get that out there. Make sure that's known before you make your bet. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, hour away from Florence, South Carolina.
You're kind of a Carolina person, aren't you?
When I was younger, I said any chance I get to put on for my city, I would. So it you brought it up. You brought up the Notre Dame game. The Florida State game. And you got a quarterback that transferred. He just happened to be from Myrtle Beach.
Oh, come on. You want to talk about a reach there. We're going to have to pop your shoulder back into place. Oh, let's go to the Florida quarterbacks from there. Get out of here.
Oh, man.
All right, when we come back, we'll take you through all the NFL games. But you know what? I want to give something away on the way out here. How about two tickets to see the Dynamo take on Sporting Kansas City Wednesday, September 23rd. Kickoff is at 7:30 at BBVA Compass Stadium. Special offers for next Wednesday's game are now available. Plus, there's a post-game fireworks show presented by Kroger. Get your tickets now. Log on to HoustonDynamo.com. Caller number 10. You're going to see the Dynamo.
That sounds like opposing strippers fighting off. Dynamo versus Sporting Kansas City.
Like Sporting Ladies?
Yeah, Kansas City against the Dynamo attack. Like, I picture Breaking. You remember Breaking from the 80s? The movie with Turbo and Ozone?
Yes.
All right, so that's what I picture.
Then there
was
Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, greatest movie title of all time.
Yeah, pretty much, other than Snakes on a Plane. That was pretty good, too. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll go through the NFL. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.